Okay, it's on. Hello, this is Reese Pugh. It's the 14th, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the 14th,
yeah, of June. And I am interviewing Julie Fisher, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. So, when did you first come into contact with the Upper Fraser region?
Well, I taught there in the 87-88 school year.
Okay.
But I first kind of learned about it when the principal that was out there at the time, Barb Austin, she was actually buying a car off my dad. He owned Honda North at the time. And I just came to pick him up for lunch. And she was there, and you know how dads are. He was bragging about me. So.
Yeah.
Because I just got my teaching certificate. And I met up with her, and she said, "Have you ever thought of teaching out of town?" And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm single. I'm willing to travel." So it was like we made a date right then and there for the next day to go out and check it out. And I drove out there, and it was just gorgeous. The drive out there was just beautiful. And there wasn't a lot of teaching jobs around at that point, especially full-time, so it was kind of a good idea. And I was offered the intermediate position, which was grade 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up actually teaching grade 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 all in one classroom. But it was the intermediate position was what I applied for. And there was a lot of pluses to being out there. Like she said, you know it's a long way out, but you get to live in the Teacherage, which is, the trailers that they had out there right beside the school, but it was only $100 a month. And, when you got student loans, that's always nice.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they're fully, they were furnished, or, kind of furnished. And you got travel money.
Yeah.
It was worthwhile. It was a nice little community.
Do you want me to pause it?
Well, you might want to.
Okay. So, did you have very much experience as a teacher prior to Upper Fraser?
No, I had. I'd only taught 6 months at Springwood before I went there. But I was in the Saanich internship program at UVic, so I had done a 6 month practical.
Okay.
That was interesting, that's for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, my sister goes to Springwood.
Oh, does she? Oh, there you go.
I guess that was quite a while ago, though. Yeah, I like it too. It's just down the street. So how was that for you, having to teach grades 3 to 7 all of a sudden?
Well, it was
a lot of work.
The nighttime, I pretty much worked till 11 every night, and then I'd be up at 7 the next morning.
Right.
So teaching the curriculum was, making sure everybody got what they needed to get for their grade level was quite difficult. Plus, there was two special needs students in the class at the time, too. One girl that had, she had cerebral palsy, and she was blind in one eye, and lots of speech problems. And then another girl that was kind of mildly medically handicapped. So that part of it was difficult, but the day-to-day running of the classroom was just a joy. Like, the kids were really cohesive, like they all worked as a group, and they all knew each other from the community, and half of them were related. That was the weird part about it.
Yeah.
That you would never get anywhere else, but a situation like that. And that was like, I had three children from the same family in the same classroom. And then I had two children from the same family, and their mom was my teacher's aide, and that kind of thing. So that was a bit strange, I'd have to say. And just, because they do the usual sibling fighting, and I'd have to say, no, you guys, you can't do that. The mom that was working in there, I had to get the kids to all call her Mrs. Boucher, because otherwise, it was like mom, auntie, Marlene, whatever.
Yeah.
So we had to get that straight right at the mirror. Okay, when she's in the classroom, we're going to call her Mrs. Boucher, and that's
even if she's your mom.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've always wondered what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you think the kids work so well together as a group?
Well, I think they all knew each other so well, and they've been. It's such a small community, and I think, everybody knows everybody. And so they're together all the time in every situation. I mean, there was definitely some kids that didn't get along all that well, but they still knew how to work together, even though they didn't get along, you know?
I see. How was your support as a teacher? You had mentioned you had a teacher's aide.
Yeah, I had a teacher's aide. You know, I don't remember how often she was in now, because it was quite a while ago, but then I also had a lady that helped me with the special needs kids.
Oh, okay.
And she was wonderful. Her name was Bonnie Kwok's sister.
Oh, okay.
And her, I think it was her dad or her parents that were the, her dad that was the pastor of the church out there.
Oh.
And she was just wonderful. Just wonderful. And the principal was excellent. Barb Austin was just excellent.
There, I'll pause it. What do you think the approximate population was when you lived out in Upper Fraser?
I don't know, to tell you the truth, because a lot of them were bused in, like a lot of the workers in the mill and stuff didn't live out there.
Oh,
they
okay.
were bused. From what I understand, what happened to that school was, like one section of the school was really old, and the other section was beautiful, brand new. And from what I understand, the older section, which was two or three classrooms, I believe, and an office, was the old section that had been there forever. And then what happened was a large Portuguese population moved in at one point, and the mill got together with the school district and said they would go halfers on a new addition to the school, because all of a sudden they had supposedly a school population of about 125 at that time. So they built this addition on, and it was gorgeous. I mean, there were skylights, full-size gym, beautiful library, computer lab, everything. And so they built this together, and then just after that, a couple years later, the some of the people out in Upper Fraser complained because their kids, you know, couldn't go to skating lessons or that sort of thing. So they started busing. They put in a bus system for the guys at the mill so that their families could live in town and they could bus every day.
Oh.
Well, bang, everybody moved into town.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the school population dropped again. And when I was there, there was only 42.
Oh, so you were sort of on the declining end of things.
Yeah, I was, yeah. There was 42 the year I was there, and from what I understand, it just went down steadily from there. I had 24 kids in my class that year.
When did the Portuguese population
move in? I'm not sure the year. I just heard that through the grapevine when I was there.
Yeah, because I didn't forget that.
Because... Yeah, that's what I had heard, that's why that school was so beautiful, was mm-hmm. that the mill had put in some of the money. Now, I don't know if that's fact.
Oh,
no, you'd have to check
is.
That out. But, because I kept thinking, now, geez, you know, there's a lot of schools like Meadow and mm-hmm. other schools like that only have half-size gyms. How did they ever get a full-size gym mm-hmm. way out in Upper Fraser?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what I heard was the thing, that the mill had put in some of the money.
So I guess you lived out in Upper Fraser, so you got kind of familiar with the community and everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think the population was, demographically speaking, when you lived in Upper Fraser? Was it mostly men or families?
It was mostly families. Yeah, mostly families. Yeah, you were asking about being involved in the community. I actually made that a priority for myself to be, because I, at the time, I didn't know that I'd only be there for 1 year, and I was more than willing to be there for longer than that. But then I got married that next summer, so I moved into town. But I wanted to get to know the people there, and so I was on the baseball team that they had running there. They had a little baseball league going on there with two or three teams, and I helped if they needed somebody to play piano for different things. I did that. And I went to the baby showers and the Tupperware parties and whatever was going on there. Just tried to get to know the population. And the three of us that were out there at the time, Barb Austin, Sandy Trillian, and myself, we became quite close. And we would all live out there during the week. And then most of us would go into town on the weekend. You know, we'd all kind of go in on the weekend and stay in town. And Thursday nights, we'd always go to out to Irwin's restaurant, which was in
down the creek?
No, not that far. Just, you just go up the road and through, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it now. If I heard it, I'd know it, but,
I've got a map.
Oh, here's the map, yeah. No, Sinclair Mills, that's where it was.
Oh, okay.
It was in Sinclair Mills, was a little restaurant there. And it had, it used to be an old, bunkhouse, you know, like where all the guys used to stay.
Yeah,
and it was like a fairly large building, and it still had the old cook kitchen in it. So he lived up behind it in this really nice house, and he was an awesome gourmet chef.
Really?
Awesome.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and he ran like a little restaurant out of there, and he had a pool table, and people would just go there and shoot a game of pool, and he had alcohol and stuff too, like you could have a drink and have a nice dinner. And we'd go every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd always go shopping, you know, that week and pick something special for us for Thursday. And,
oh,
you know, we
see,
could phone ahead or something. He'd say, oh, it's prime rib tonight, or I'm going to make you ribs tonight, or I'm going to make you, you know, chicken cordon bleu.
So
we could always kind of look forward to that. Mm-hmm. Thursday night was when the three of us would get together.
Is the place still there?
No, it burned down, actually.
Really?
Not very long ago, like after I was there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place burned down. I was really sad to hear that, because mm-hmm. Real neat, you know, and it
sounds like a neat sort of big old building.
Yeah, and it was kind of neat for, I think, the community too. Like, we'd go out there and we'd always have a beer or a glass of wine, and I used to really like to shoot pool, and I think it was nice for some of the parents to see us in that different light.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, so you're not in your teacher role anymore, you're just part of the community and, you know, having fun and having a drink, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of the people there were, not all of them, but a lot of them were uneducated and felt, I think, intimidated sometimes to come in for interviews and stuff. And a lot of them would come in and just sit there and be telling them about their children. They wouldn't say a word.
Sorry, like a stone.
Yeah, you know. And I always felt that once you kind of knew them better, they would open up a little bit.
Yeah, it's good PR, right?
Yeah.
That's neat. That sounds like a cool place.
It was. It was a fun year. I certainly don't regret going out there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the teaching went, it was a good chance for me to try some things out.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, when I came out of university, I had been taught by Terry Johnson, was one of my main professors, and Irv Burbank at UVic. And they were really forward thinking, and they were, you know, whole language and all that kind of stuff. So. I came out of this kind of, you know, education program where I tried all these new things, and I was ready to change the world, as we all are when we go to university.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I came to Prince George, which is where I was brought up, but this town was very GIN oriented. Readers, skill packs, everything was, you know, you had to do this and you had to be on this page at this time, and it was very structured. And I thought, oh, great, you know, here I've got all this cool stuff I want to do,
mm-hmm.
but I was really limited as to what I could use. So when I was at Upper Fraser, you know, Barb basically gave me free rein. Like,
mm-hmm.
she said, you know, you show me your planning, and you show me that if you're going to cover everything, you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to try out lots of neat things that I wouldn't have got to try in town.
Yeah.
And I did all the clubs out there, too. It was back when we didn't have lunch hour supervisors yet.
Oh, okay.
So because there's only three of us on staff, we had to do morning, recess, noon, and after school duty out on the playgrounds.
Oh, I see.
So the deal we made was, because I had music background and PE background, was Barb and Sandy did all the duty,
mm-hmm.
and I did all the clubs. So every day at lunch hour, I would do a different club. One day would be choir, and one day would be basketball, and one day would be aerobics. And that way the kids all got to try the stuff that they wanted to do. So it was kind of fun.
That's got to be fun too,
yeah.
The choir.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a good chance, like I said, it's a good chance to kind of get my feet wet, and
mm-hmm.
it was great for the resume.
I came into
town and said, hey, I've taught five different grades, and I've done Christmas concert, and I've done this, and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I guess to you in a split class, it's nothing compared to
it. Oh, yeah. It was easy when I came in.
3 to 7,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Christmas concert, that was a real thing in Upper Fraser. They hadn't had one for a couple of years.
Really?
And I did an operetta. And I had to scale it all down, hey, like, you know, like there was 12 songs in the operetta, and I took it down to like 4 or whatever, because, you know, I only had 42 kids to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And And every kid had a part, but I had to hone down the lines and stuff because the kids were a lot younger. You know, I didn't have very many grade sevens and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the whole community showed up for this concert. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gym was packed.
Oh, that's neat. That's
like,
so wonderful.
People that didn't have kids in school and the grandparents and old Uncle Herbert from down the road that, you know, was a recluse or whatever. Everybody showed up for that concert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you know, it was really neat that they all came and they all had coffee afterwards. And they really appreciated stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that you could do was, I think they really appreciated it.
Yeah.
What was the play you put on?
Oh, it was called Shaping Up Santa. Yeah, and it was about Santa working out, trying to slim down.
Oh,
it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's just good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did you leave?
Because I got married. I got married the next summer, and so I didn't want to have to be driving back and forth every day.
Mm-hmm.
It was too... The drive out there was... you wouldn't want to be doing it at night and stuff. Going around Eaglet Lake was a little scary.
Yeah, okay.
And I know lots of people did that worked out there and drove every day, but I just... That's too far.
Yeah, that's a lot of driving. How did you feel about coming back to Prince George after having taught at Upper Fraser for a year and a half?
Fine. Yeah.
Was it easier?
No, I don't think so. I think everything's got its pros and its cons. And I went from there to Wildwood, where I had one of those jobs that you take so you can get permanent points.
Okay.
So I was teaching grade 3-4. For part-time, and I had grade 6 music, grade 7 PE in French.
Oh, and sort of the jack of all trades.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, you know, but it was partial permanent points, so once you've got some permanent points, then you can apply for jobs, and the next year I got full-time permanent. Yeah, so, but you know, you kind of have to pay your dues, so that's what I did. But I wouldn't say one was easier than the other, because I went from having 24 students, and like I said, they worked together well, and it was... kind of almost a family atmosphere, and they were, you know, so appreciative of anything you did for them. And then when I came into town, you know, I had, you know, 30 students, and you know, I don't know, not the same kind of mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and parents weren't always easy to deal with and stuff, whereas I found out in Upper Fraser I never had any problems with parents.
Really, the parents support was good.
They were excellent. Yeah,
really
excellent.
Oh,
I've heard that too from other people, there's sense of community and stuff.
It's funny because it kind of works two ways. Like, the one way is a big sense of community, everybody helps everybody, you know, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, we also had a couple cases, and I don't even know if I'm allowed to mention them or not, but there was a couple of cases where abusive situations, nobody would come forward.
Really? Okay.
Because it was that same sense of community. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, I know that something's going on at my neighbor's, but I'm certainly not going to say anything because that's their business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah, so
I think in town it's the other way around. It's like you were saying, not very often you come to a situation, a neighborhood anymore where they have block parties or they know everybody knows everybody. You don't see that very much anymore. And on the other hand, you know, if somebody thought something was going on next door, they would probably phone it in, right? So
mm-hmm.
it, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The good, bad, and ugly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Can you remember the community's layout very well?
I don't know to what extent, but my first impressions coming in, I guess I could tell you. Like, beautiful scenery, just awesome. Because I went in August to check it out. It was just gorgeous. And when you came into town, you know, I just remember the little tiny store being on the left-hand side there, the store which was kind of the center of the community because that was the only store there was. And, you know, a lot of people would go in there and just sit and have coffee, too.
Did they have a liquor store there?
No.
Oh, so everybody had to bring from Prince George.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, Irwin did have beer and stuff that you could, you know, get stuff out there too. And then the mill itself, and then the school up on the right-hand side. and it was off the road a little bit, and the railway track running right beside the road. And you always remember that, because when you're living in those trailers, let me tell you, when the train comes through, you know it.
Yeah.
Your whole trailer shakes.
Yeah.
It was that close. But, yeah. The first day I came to set up was too funny, because it was about a week before school started, or 2 weeks maybe. And my boyfriend at the time came to help me, you know, pack and unpack and everything. And we drive up, and here's the trailer that I was told was mine. And there's this boy outside of my trailer with a ghetto blaster plugged in and some pretty raunchy music on there. And he's dancing around looking at the sky and doing some kind of dance, right?
I'm going,
So this is my life now.
Yeah.
But it ended up, he was in my class actually, he was a real good kid. He was just expressing himself. And but I was kind of taken aback thinking, did I make the right decision by taking his job?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But Barb came out and talked to me and said, hey, Kev, you know, can you give the teacher a break, new teacher, you know?
Yeah.
Get a breaker in.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But the swing sets and stuff were right in front of my trailer, so a lot of times the kids would be out there after school and they'd come to my door and we'd all have Kool-Aid together.
Oh, really? So,
you know.
That's convenient, actually, not a lot of commuting time. If you
yeah, oh, yeah.
There, that's right? Yeah, okay.
After a while, they all knew my schedule, because I'd always go have a nap in the afternoon. Because I worked, like I said, I worked so late, but up so early, after school, I'd be so burnt. I'd go home about 3:30, and I'd nap from 3:30 to 4:30. We weren't allowed to play on the swings in front of my house. And then they could come for Kool-Aid at 4:30.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of funny. And that's what happens in places like that, is word travels fast, you know what I mean? Like, you tell a kid something like that, and all the kids know it the next day, and all their parents know it.
Yeah.
You know, so
that you're having an
app. Yeah. So it can work the good and it can work the bad. You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did it ever work the bad? Did you ever have bad things about you getting
Well, yeah. Because my boyfriend would come out there sometimes, right?
Oh,
on the weekend.
Okay.
Sometimes I wouldn't come into town if I had too much work to do. Mm-hmm. Report card season, that kind of time. I'd stay out there and he'd come out for Saturday night or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, there was a car there all night, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
But people didn't seem to think too much about their
fence. Well, that's good. Okay. Was there a, let's see, a hotel there?
No, but like Irwin's place in Sinclair Mills, he did have some spots that people could rent.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, because it had been more fun.
Okay. How about a cemetery or a graveyard?
I don't remember that. And I don't even know, like, my memories are not so good. But, because I know there was a pastor there, and I'm not sure where he had his services. It might have been at the community hall.
Oh, there was a community hall, too.
Yeah, there was a community hall there, that's right. And, because they'd have bingos every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was lots of fun, because everybody would show up. Right? Mm-hmm. It was just a big party. Like, it was lots of fun. And they used it. Yeah, that must be where they had the church services, too, because I remember once I had to play, that was the worst thing. I had to play the piano for a funeral.
Oh.
And it was a big deal in that community. It was a family who had been there for a long time. She worked at the mill, and it was on the job. She got killed on the job. And, oh boy, that was a real sad time out there. Like, because everybody knew her, and she was just a lovely, lovely lady.
What was her name?
Last name was House, H-O-W-S-E. And her son was in my class.
Oh, okay.
He was in grade 7. Was it his mom or his auntie? Actually, now that I think of it, I know it was either his mom or his aunt.
But there was some name, Shirley.
Yeah, Shirley.
Yeah, was
yeah,
it? Okay.
That was somebody her first name. That's right.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think her last name was House. If it was his aunt, it might have been a different last name, but it was related to them.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he's still, the boy that I taught, he was in grade 7 that year, he still lives out there, or he's gone back there, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And, it was pretty embarrassing, actually. My baby's picture was in the paper for them. Babies of 99 or whatever.
Yeah.
His baby's picture was right beside mine. It's like, oh man, I'm feeling old now.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
I'm thinking, boy, yeah, kid's young, and then I think about it, and I think, well, she's not that young.
Yeah. Do you have much contact with old students out there? Do you ever go out there anymore?
No, I don't go out there. Every once in a while I meet people from there though, and it's still, I don't know, everybody still remembers me and it's still friendly. Like there's certain people that I certainly made bigger contacts with than others. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually go out there. No, I haven't been out there for years.
Okay. What did you do for entertainment there? You mentioned bingo.
Yeah, there was bingo once in a while, and like I said, Thursday nights we'd go out to the restaurant and baseball, you know, that kind of thing. But that was about it.
Well, in the winter, did you do a snowmobiling?
No, I didn't. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. No, because I worked pretty much all day, every day. You know, like I tried to get all my stuff done, so on the weekends when I came in, I wouldn't have a lot of work to do. So I pretty much worked straight through.
What did most people there do for fun?
A lot of people did snowmobile, but you know, quite a few people were farmers, and so of course they had lots of things.
There
to
were
eat.
Farmers there?
Yeah, there was quite a few farmers.
I thought they all worked in the mill.
No, not all of them. No, I mean not huge spreads or anything, but a lot of people had, you know, horses and that sort of thing. I remember one student that I had in grade 7, Andre. His parents had kind of a farm situation. And one thing that was really cool too about the parents out there is a lot of times you get invited for dinner.
Oh, really?
You know, like the old days? if they knew you lived out there, I got invited for dinner at quite a few different houses. And it was great because you got to see their home life. You know, you got to see a little bit about what they were like at home and their siblings, and gave you a much better perspective on them. And there was one couple out there, and I still see her quite often because she does outside yard work for a lot of the gas stations and stuff.
Okay.
What was that? They were like total hippies. Yeah. They were the coolest people. Where did they live? They lived in...
It's a landscaping service you were talking about?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And they must have lived in Hanser. Because they lived up the road a bit. But we'd go to their house for dinner sometimes. And of course, everything she had was organic and homemade, fresh bread. And
It's not country, is it?
No. Okay. He worked for the railroad. He was he looked after the bridge.
Oh, okay.
So he'd sit in his little shack and watch the bridge.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's what he did most of the time, I think. Yeah. Gosh, I can't remember their last name. David and Alice were their kids that I had in my class. And I've seen David quite often, too, and Alice just graduated from Dutchess. And I try and keep up on them. Like, you know, like I see these people every once in a while. I saw one of my other kids one day, Jeannie. She's got a little baby. I saw her somewhere. She said, "Hi, sweet." I said, so I knew it had to be my first 2 years of teaching.
That's right.
The only time I was not married, right?
Yeah.
So I like to find out what they've done and where they're at.
That's neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Entertainment.
I can't really think of too much else because we didn't do a whole bunch.
Okay. What kinds of health services do they have?
None that I know of.
Really?
I don't know.
They had no doctor or nurse or anything?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I had my first aid ticket. One of us have to have a person at every school, right?
Yeah,
so
okay.
I had that, but I don't... I would assume the mill would have something. They must have had somebody with industrial first aid.
Oh, I'm sure they must have.
But I don't know if they actually had a doctor on site. I don't think so.
Okay, where did, that's what I was going to ask you about. You mentioned farmers. So people could farm and still live in the Upper Fraser town site?
They weren't right in the town site.
Oh,
they were
kind of live around.
Yeah, you know, the outlying area, there's lots of farmland around.
Okay, I get it, yeah.
I don't know if they actually farmed, like crops and stuff, I don't know, but I know there was a lot of people there with horses and cows and stuff.
Oh, I see.
You know, that kind of farming, hobby farm, I guess you call it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where did most people work when you lived up there?
Well, most people worked at the mill, yeah. Most of the men, especially, worked at the mill.
What do you think most of the women did? Did they have jobs?
Some of them worked in town. Like I said, the one lady was my teacher's aide. One lady was our secretary and custodian, kind of. Yeah, right, there was a, yeah, oh, I know what she did. She did. She was secretary at a couple different schools. She went to our school, to Giscombe and that kind of thing. She spent over there the other day, too, actually. And then the one lady was our janitor, the custodian. And I don't, a lot of them didn't, you know, a lot of them were just at home,
okay,
too. Which I think would be really hard there. Like, now that I'm at home this mm-hmm. year, I know how important it is to have contacts outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. There wouldn't be a lot of contact out there, you know?
It's watch soap operas or
something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be kind of hard, though. You'd be kind of isolated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you remember any big labor disruptions or strikes or anything while you were out there?
No, I don't. There was a lot of controversy when I was out there, as I think there was all the time, about the fly ash situation.
Oh, okay.
And it was really interesting, actually, that the man that was the manager at the time, I think the manager, his name was Charlie something or other. Nice guy. His kids went to our school, too. And my kids did a newspaper for Upper Fraser, like a one-time newspaper on the computer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had every grade do something different, so like the grade threes did display ads. And the grade fours did lost and found and baby ads and baby announcements and so on and so forth. And the grade sevens, well, six sevens, because there was five of them all together, they had to do actual editorial stories, right?
Mm.
And so the one group decided to do the fly ash problem.
Oh, really?
And it was really interesting because, of course, their parents had come about fly ash. Right?
Yeah.
So they had a real skewed opinion, like
mm.
you know, because that's all they'd heard was from
yeah.
home. And so I let them go with that, you know, and I said, oh, okay, if that's what you think, then that's what you think, but I think we need to go and talk to the mill and see what they think too.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were, I think, kind of didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to write what they wanted to write. And I said,
yeah.
Well, you know, you can't do that. You got to have facts. So we went, and he was so awesome. He set up his conference room, you know, for them, and they each had a pad of paper and a pen and a glass of water, and it's all very official, you know.
Yeah.
And they could, and a couple of them asked him really dumb questions, you know, and he didn't crack a smile, he didn't make them feel stupid, he just totally answered what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he let them know how many millions of dollars they had put in to that mill already to try and control the problem.
Yeah, okay.
And then he said to them, if you can come up with a solution,
mm-hmm.
we will look into it. So
mm-hmm.
bang, science fair project. All the kids, that's what they did. They tried to come up with solutions for the, and it was the best exercise, really.
Really?
Yeah, because it was
yeah.
all truthful, right?
Yeah, and very real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and even their parents were going, what are you're trying to fix the fly ash? So that even the dads were getting involved in it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you could do this, you could do this.
Yeah, and yeah, okay.
They were all building models, and
mm-hmm.
it was great. But I think a lot of it was due to him,
mm-hmm.
due to Charlie, because he treated them like adults, and he said to them, you know, here, that. Here, I'll put the problem in your hands, see what you can do with it. We've
mm-hmm.
tried all these different things, you know. And it was good for them to hear that they weren't just letting it go. You know, they had tried things and they had put money into it, so
mm-hmm.
it was fun.
Yeah, that's neat. What kind of housing was there in Upper Fraser?
A lot of trailers, mostly trailers, and then some very older housing. And a lot of the housing, I think, that was there was railway housing, like it had been, I don't know how long it had been there, but a lot of it was very old.
And it was all owned by the company, hey, and you paid rent?
I believe so. Okay. I believe so. Some of the trailers were owned, because I know some of the people when they left, they
okay.
So I think some of them were owned and some of them were owned.
What was the quality like? Were they decent places to live?
No.
Okay.
Not really. Pretty dilapidated.
Okay. That probably helped people, like, decide to move out to Prince George's, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, some of the trailers that people, the people that owned their own trailers,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of them are really nice nowadays, but
mm-hmm.
But the housing, as far as the houses went, not very nice. There was a couple of decent ones, but they were still really old. You know, some people really fixed them up and stuff, but...
There was something, I'm trying to remember what someone else said, there's like Snob Hill or something up on the side.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm getting mixed up with somewhere else. Okay.
It could be true. Because, like, I was only there for the 1 year, so mm-hmm. I didn't, and, you know, I was yes. holed up in the classroom for a long,
that's right.
long time,
you
so sometimes I didn't.
Pick up subtleties. Like
yeah, that, some, yeah, some things I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. What were the most pleasant aspects of living over there?
I think just getting to know the people. Like, I just really enjoyed getting to know everybody and being part of the community. And the beauty of it, the actual physical beauty of the place. Every time I drive in there, I go, oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Even in the winter?
Well, in the winter, you didn't have a chance to really look out your windows much because you were watching the road, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the,
okay,
road, sure. The road was really brutal.
Did yeah. they plow and everything?
They, well, yeah, but, you know, sometimes you'd only have one stripe plowed.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh, I see, okay.
You know, until you, but if I stayed overnight in town, like if I had a conference or something, I was staying overnight, then I'd be out at about 5:30 in the morning driving, and, you know, sometimes it wouldn't be plowed yet or whatever, and I have this real fear of drowning, hey, mm-hmm. real. And Eaglet Lake, like, you know, because you have to wind right around it. Mm-hmm. That would just freak me out. And when it was mm-hmm. foggy out, like, in the early morning, so it would be foggy.
Yeah.
You could barely see with it. Oh, that part of it I did not like.
Oh, okay, good, good. I was going to ask you about the negative aspects. Okay. Driving out, I guess.
Yeah. And I'd say that one of the most pleasant aspects, too, was the actual school. Like, working in the school, it was just a really nice, bright place to work. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a beautiful school.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really nice, yeah.
I guess it still is, if anybody who uses it.
Well, that's, I was really sad to hear it close down.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, because Giscombe School isn't nearly as nice, mm-hmm. not even close, mm-hmm. and it's only got a half-size gym. But I guess, busing-wise, it was cheaper for them to take a couple kids from up at Fraser and bus them to Giscombe.
Oh.
To take all the kids from Giscombe and bus them out to a nice school.
Yeah, that's too bad, really.
Right? You know, like, I guess, mm-hmm. I'm sure it was money related. Mm-hmm. It always is.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But now they got that nice school sitting there doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the police use it for practicing hostage taking scenarios and stuff.
Oh, they'd have to use it for something.
Cause yeah, like, yeah, I'm sure they
can't just let a nice place like that just sit there.
That's right, yeah. They would be store stuff in there. Okay. Did the mill play any role in community stuff?
Oh yeah, I think they played a lot of roles. I think they, you know, like most of the people that were playing baseball and bingo and doing all those things were mill workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mill tried to make people happy that lived okay. out there. You know, I do, like, I think if they needed money for equipment or for whatever. I mean, I don't know this for fact mm-hmm. that they bought that kind of stuff, but I assume,
I'm sure you're right.
I assume yeah. that they did that kind of stuff because they wanted the people living out there to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think most of the people in the community came from, like ethnically?
I don't know. There was a real mix. You know, there was, there was some native population, and there was some Portuguese, and there was some all different backgrounds. Seemed to me mm-hmm. like there was a real mix.
And East Indians or black people?
No, actually, I never saw any East Indians or black people at that time, anyways.
Did you see any split in the kind of jobs that people had, depending on their, I don't know, their heritage?
No, I don't think so.
Was there any overt racism or anything towards Indians?
I didn't find that there at all. They just seemed to, everybody was pretty relaxed about
mm-hmm.
whatever. I mean, there was, you know, I never saw any racism towards natives. Mm-hmm. And there was, there was a couple ladies that lived near the store, too, that were living together as partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw anybody give them a hard time, either. Like, it was just all accepted into the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I remember the last name Brown, the couple that I was saying that were real hippies.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I don't know, everybody just seemed to be kind of accepting. And I don't know if that's because I was really young and I...
Didn't
pick up on it, maybe.
But, yeah. No,
but it seemed to me that everybody kind of just accepted who everybody else was, and you just kind of went from there.
Okay. Are there any other people that you think we ought to interview for this project?
Well, Well, as I mentioned, Barb Austin and Sandy Trillian. Barb would be a good one. She was there for 3 or 4 years as principal. Brian Pepper's another one that was a principal out there for a couple of years. lady that was there the year before me is Mabel Lloyd. Her name was Rickman then, but Mabel Lloyd had two L's. They own the body shop now. She's not teaching anymore. But I see her quite often. Her kids have swimming with mine. So if you want, I can, you know, I could tell her your name or whatever.
Sure, you want. Could you give her a pamphlet or something?
You bet.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay,
and then maybe she'd give you a call. Now the Browns, I'm just trying to think of her first name. See, Barb would know better because she was there longer. She would remember some of these people's names. But Browns definitely would be good ones to interview if they'd be willing. And mm-hmm. like I said, I know she's still in town because I see her gardening all the time. But I cannot remember for the life of me remember her first name. I always remember their kids' names, you know.
Yeah, well, that's who you were.
But, and the other one that would be a really good one is Della. And I can't remember their last name either. Remember all the kids' names, but anyways, there was her kids are Kevin Curtis and Sandra. But Barb was quite good friends with her, and she's native, and she had lived there for a long time,
mm-hmm.
long time. Yeah, and in fact, she might still live there. I don't know. The lady that was my teacher's aide, her name was Marlene Boucher.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe her and her husband have split up, but I've seen her in town here, so I know she's still in town. B-O-U-C-H-E-R, I believe.
Okay.
And Bonnie, I don't think she goes by Quack Sister anymore. Her last name now is Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-D-S. She was the one that was the special needs teacher out there, and her husband, or her dad was the pastor.
Oh, yes.
And she works out of Ron Brandt, I believe. She works at Ron Brandt. Anyway, she's somewhere in the school district.
Yeah,
so if you asked, I'm sure you'd be able to get a hold of her. But she'd be a good one, because with her dad. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, that's cool. I know, I've got two things I was mm-hmm. going to ask you. Okay, you mentioned hippies. Were there any hippie commies up there or anything?
I don't think there's any commies, no. Like that one family, they kind of lived on their own. Hansard. That's what it was. Yeah, it was Hansard. Yeah, it definitely was. There was kind of a little... Now, what was out there? Because there's a building out there, and I can't remember what it's for now. Maybe it's a railway type thing, I'm not sure. But they had a trailer out there, and it was in a little... There was a little group of trailers out there, and I think they all belonged to the railway people, because that's who he worked for. And, But other than that, I didn't know a lot of them.
Were there any bootleggers or anything?
Not that I know of. No.
I'm sure there would have been more of all about
15
or 20 years earlier.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say or you want me to ask you about?
I don't think so. Can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks very much for the interview.
Yeah, and I'll give this to Mabel. Put this out before you go.
Sure, yeah. Here, I'll shut off the table.